So where do you start?
Where do you capture 23 years with a few words, and give some final words that really matter and that carry weight on a day like today? So here's what I wrote in my journal just the other day. What to say? Funny for me to be out of words. Last message this Sunday and I am lost for words. That was my journal entry earlier in the week. And I know, Campbell lost for words. And don't worry, it didn't take long to find some. I had this chat to Lorraine. She's really good like that, because I didn't know what to say. And after a short chat with her and then a long amount of sitting and waiting, some words did come. One word came. The word is? Thank you. Shouldn't be a surprise there. So here's what I decided I wanted to say to you, okay? You ready? This is it. This is what I wanted to say to you. Church, love your world. Live a life of love. Walk in the way of love. Love God. Love each other. Love your neighbour. Love the foreigner in your land and in your street. Love the poor and the needy. Even love your enemy. That's what I wanted to say to you. But as I sat and I waited, I decided that instead of saying to you what I wanted to say to you, I would say to you what you need to hear. I did get in what I wanted to say to you anyway, but I believe that God wants you to know again today, as He wants you to know every day, that you are greatly loved today. Still love. And as we've thought often in this past couple of years on this journey of love, that it's more important for us to understand and know and experience God's love for us first than to love others. Because He's the source of that love. And so again today, amongst all the noise that goes on in our heads, God's still small voice might whisper to you and even maybe shout to you, I love you today. Today. Right now. And every day. Remember last week we were listening to the words of Jeremiah where he talked about that daily love of God, that it's not just like, oh yeah, just again today, but it's new every day. His love for us in every moment. Jeremiah writes, remember as he's writing his sad song, suddenly there's something that's good in it. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that every day, God's love for us, new every morning, that includes today. So I'm not lost for words. In fact, like normal, I have more than I need, or you need, and hopefully not more than you can bear. So here goes. Over the past 23 years and a bit in CBC, as up to next weekend, which is kind of my last, there will have been 8,535 mornings, and everyone is new. And in everyone, God has loved us. And God has loved me. So I want to tell you about a few of those mornings and a few of those days. So the first one is this. It's this weird memory I have of a particular day to do with us coming into Agora here. So it's back like 12 years ago, something like that. And it wasn't the day that we came in here. We were still at Aberdeen School and we were getting ready to come to Agora. We were pretty excited about it. And on that day, we were showing these introductory videos that were getting us ready to enter the building. And one of the videos featured this famous, in CBC's life, helmet. Okay? And I want you to watch it because this is one of my favourite memories of 23 years.
Just like that. How long? Wait.
You like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, I don't know why, but that, yeah, I know why. It's just funny.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Oh, I've been looking for that clip for a few years. And because I've been doing the massive clean out the last few weeks, I actually found it last week. Oh, we laughed a lot on that day. As we were eagerly anticipating coming into this home. And so that's a special memory. And I really just showed it just because I wanted to. I do remember the day I first stood in this building, like in here. It's a long time ago. It's about 20 years ago. And so on that day, Roland Foreman, who was our senior pastor, and I was pastor of children and young families, so Roland and I, and one of our elders, who a lot of you know, Alan Adamson, we, the three of us, stood here, just in this room that we're in now, about 20 years ago. And I remember that day as we looked around and we were going, wow, wouldn't this be a cool home for CBC? And we were trying to wrangle a deal with the owner to do a month-by-month lease on the place, because we knew we couldn't pay the full lease on it as a normal lease, but we just thought, what if we could just have it month at a time, and then like, and then if they managed to lease it or sell it to somebody else, then we'd have to leave it. But I just remember us, three of us standing here going, this would be a great place to call home. So fast forward on from there, about 7 years, and we owned some land down on Massey Street as a church. And then our facilities team, who were working out how to use that land, decided that we'd be better to sell it and look for somewhere existing because the price of land had gone up. And then we got told to meet an agent in Kent Street to have a look at a building that was for sale that might be suitable. And imagine my surprise when we turned up on that day and we stood outside this building. And we're like, and I was like, this is the building. This is the building. Do you know what was funny about that day? The agent took us to the wrong building. True. The one that was listed was a couple of doors along, and he took us to the wrong one, which we then found out was actually for sale but not advertised, and we bought it, and 13 years later, here we are. I want to tell you this, that, you know, back 20 years ago when we stood here, 13 years ago when we stood here again, and today as I'm standing here today, God has just continued to love us each day. And one of the blessings that he's done that through is he's given us this home. And we can thank him for his love. It's amazing. If I think about those two guys that I stood here with, Alan and Roland, they are significant in my life. Two men that were leaders in this church, who aren't leaders in this church anymore. God really gifted those two men into my life a long time ago, back in my teenage years. And through all those years in between, somehow wound up in the church together leading, which was incredible. And in lots of ways, I feel like God personally to me gave them as a gift to me, that as my dad passed away, I had these two dads in my life, Roland and Alan, just amazing men. I want to tell you about a day in each of their lives, though. Very different days and significant days in the life of this church and in my life as a pastor here. I remember the day that Roland went into Waikato Hospital for surgery. Some of you might remember that day, long time ago, about 20 years ago. And Roland went in for surgery to have cancer removed from his lung. And we've been praying for Roland as a church, and people all over the globe were praying for Roland. And he went into surgery, and they opened him up, and there was no cancer in his lung. It had gone. I remember that day. It's such an amazing day that God had healed Roland completely. In fact, it was interesting that when they were doing some kind of assessment thing to do with his health and stuff, and then he had to he was due to travel somewhere soon after that, after the surgery, which was crazy. I think he was going to the States, and they were talking about his travel insurance, and then his doctor being able to give him a full clean bill of health, not just because of like scans and stuff, but basically because they'd actually had a look inside and he was actually all good. It wasn't like they'd done a scan and there's a shadow and a scan, there's not. It's like, we had a look and it's gone. What's amazing to me when I think about that day where God healed Roland is that today, Roland's in Adelaide, just been at a conference for 2 days with this mission conference. But like a week ago, he was in Burma and next month he's going to be in Africa. And he is in his 70s leading a brand new ministry called Barnabas School of Leadership, impacting hundreds and hundreds of emerging leaders and church planters who are impacting millions of people in the world. Isn't it amazing that God did that in his life? But I'm going to tell you about Alan. Alan is one of my best friends. He became my uncle years ago when I married his niece, who he told me to look after at Bible school, and I did. He was my youth leader, and he's a funny guy. A lot of you have got to know him and worked alongside him, and he's a lot of fun. That's him trying to squirt Wendy up in the upper office when he was doing some work downstairs. Love Alan. I remember a day very clearly. I remember the day that I walked up Alan's driveway to his front door, and I walked in the door, and I picked up the sign that was at the front door that I'd seen many times there over the previous couple of years. And it said this, Alan's resting. And I picked that up, and on this day, Alan was resting forever. He too had had cancer, and in a way, he too had been healed, but a different way. And it was a really hard day when we had to say goodbye to Alan. Alan, a man who had given so much to my own life, but also to the life of this church. And one of the things that I loved about Alan when he was on our leadership here and when we'd be alongside him, we'd be praying, is Alan, every time he would pray, he would thank God for his great love in sending Jesus to give his life on the cross. He knew the love of God. And what I know about that day is that on that day, God loved Alan. Just as God loved Roland on the day he healed Roland. It's hard to understand sometimes, isn't it? Like death and life, what measure is that? And yet in some ways it's like, who's better off right now? Alan is, because he's with his Jesus that he longed to be with and that he loved and who he knew the love of. You see, on days of glorious miracles and days of deep pain, God's love is new every day. I do think about that often, this tension between when God seems to do the miraculous and other times when it seems to be absent. That's kind of been a part of my experience, I guess, as a pastor here, is to watch that sometimes at distance, but sometimes up close. To long for God to intervene in a way that I would like, that I would think would express his love. And yet sometimes I get that so wrong. I remember my friend Mike Dodd, Mitchell that's playing drums, his dad. He's a great mate of mine from back in my teenage years. And Mike and Carolyn live in Palmerston now. Some of you heard Carolyn speak here earlier in the year. I remember in Mike's life, two events, 2 days that are so different. I remember the day that Mike and I can't remember who else, a couple of other elders, we went round to visit this family from the church, Robin and Bernadette. Marcus, who comes here, that's his mum and dad. We went to visit them, and we got to know Robin and Bernadette through Marcus and Johnny, their sons at Frankton School. And over time, we saw that whole family come to know Jesus. Was really exciting times. But ever since Johnny had been born, Bernadette had this really chronic pain in her lower back was there every day. Every day she'd wake up with this chronic pain. And they asked us as elders to go and pray. So we went to pray for her, and we anointed her with oil, and we prayed, and we laid hands on her. And the next day she contacted us, and she says, I'm not sure what happened, but when Mike put his hands on me and when Mike prayed, I had this feeling of some kind of energy through me, and I've woken up with no pain. And I saw her not that long ago, and we were talking about that, and she said that there's still no pain. No pain. Amazing, eh? God's love for Bernadette. His love in building the faith of us as elders, and his love to use Mike so graciously in that way. But I also, another day, I stood beside Mike out at Newstead as Mike and Carolyn buried their son Theo. And, you know, you think, oh, God, where were you that day? If you could use Mike in this way, surely his plea, you know, for his child, you could use him in that way. And yet we saw a different miracle. We saw Mike and Carolyn, especially Carolyn, over that time of pregnancy, where they knew that when the baby was born, they would maybe have hours, maybe possibly a day with him before he would die. They knew that already. And yet they testified, especially Carolyn, to the love she had for that little one forming inside of her day after day after day. You see, I know this in the journey, that God loves my mate Mike every day. And he has loved Bernadette every day as he's freed her from pain. And he loves Theo and has taken Theo to be with him. God's love is every day, but it's new every day in new ways. A powerful healing one day, a devastating loss on another, but all loved by God. It's not meant to be sort of like this morbid kind of talk, but there's some joy in this stuff, because it's through often the dark times and the traumatic times that I think God does his most amazing work in us. It's in those times that he takes sometimes our hard callousness and he softens it, and he makes us people who can trust, people who can be gentle, people who can love. I think about some of the journey that I've had as a pastor. When you're a pastor, the word pastor means shepherd. I kind of feel more like a sheep than a shepherd most of the time. And I think that's how it's meant to be. It's like when you're an elder or a shepherd or a pastor in the church, it's more important that you be a sheep first. I think of these words that Jacob, he was one of the fathers of Israel, a famous shepherd. And when he was blessing his children, this was one of the things he said in his blessing. He said, "May the God who has been my shepherd all the days of my life bless you." I've always loved that. The God who has been my shepherd all the days of my life. I mean, I've had privilege to be a shepherd here for 23 years, but I want to tell you, for those 8,535 days, he has been my shepherd all those days. And for those of us who have led, and I've led with some of you that are here, we've had some pretty hard days and we've had some pretty amazing days, but he has been our shepherd through all those days. I remember the day coming to a meeting upstairs here. Some of you remember Steve Crow, remember Steve and Beth? Cool people who came for a season with us from the States. And they helped us establish Agora and especially put together the community trust and a whole lot of stuff like that. Amazing people. We had a meeting planned as elders to meet here to decide whether we should send Steve and Beth home. We didn't have enough money to keep paying them. We were looking at restructuring our staff, and it was a big deal. And we'd been anxious over that for weeks, for months. We'd been trying to work out how it could work, and we had a meeting to have here as elders to decide whether we would do a full restructure of staff and we would ask them to head home. And that's pretty tough when you love somebody and you're talking about their future. And so we as elders were all praying, and we're going to come together and decide. And I had nothing. I'd been praying about it and I had no answer for it. It's just like, because in my mind, the answer couldn't be they got to go. It's got to be they got to stay. because that's got to be the answer. And so all I'm trying to do is solve it. Just got to solve it. But I'm also going, God, what do we do? And I had no answer. And as I drove from my house at Rotokari along Avalon Drive to here, I can remember driving on the road, and it wasn't like a big loud voice, but just in here, I knew that God was saying, wait. And I remember coming to this meeting thinking, oh, I can't say that. It's like, I can't. We've been already stewing over this for ages. There's a whole process we're going through. We can't keep waiting. We have to make the decision. And yet all I could think and feel was that, oh, we have to wait. And I didn't know why. Came into the meeting, and in different words, as we went around, it was such a surprise and a relief that every elder came with the same answer, wait. And I can't remember the time frame. I think it was a day, 2 days later, from an unforeseen, unexpected, out of our control place, provision came. And Steve and Beth were able to stay because we waited. Because who was actually leading the church? Who was actually shepherding CBC? God was. He's been the shepherd every day, every new morning, in new ways, loving us, so loving us. There's been some other hard days in there too, though, in that shepherding thing, and just let you in on a little insight to what life is sometimes like for a church family, because it's kind of like a real family. That the other week I was going through all my archives upstairs and sorting stuff out, and then I came across my file. I have a file. It's like my file of documents. And so some of those documents had to go into a box taped up with elders on it, and then I was able to just go, yeah, that's yours. That's cool. Did that to Jeremy the other day, said, you can have that. But as I was going through it, there were documents in there that didn't need to go there, and some of them were words of encouragement, and some of them weren't. And I had some documents that reminded me of really tough times in the church, really tough situations, and tough journeys with people. So you know what I did? I went and got the shredder out of Wendy's office, and I shredded all the documents. And there was something really good about that day, to go, you know what, that has been real and has been the season. And there's been some great joys and celebrations, but there's been some hardship in there too. There's been comings and goings. There's been births and deaths. There's been marriages and separations. But I know in all of this, God has loved us. God has loved me every day as He has been our shepherd. On that day, as I shredded the documents and all the other 8,000 plus days in the life of CBC, God has been our shepherd, lovingly caring for and providing for us. Sometimes with a strong arm it talks about in Isaiah, that leads us and protects us, and sometimes with a tender arm that embraces us. But we have known His love. Fast forward a few years, and a whole lot of cultural changes in CBC and around us, and different people coming and going. And I want to tell you about two other days and two special people. As the life of CBC carried on, there was this Bible study introduction to Jesus course called Christian Explored. Some of you have done that. Some of you have helped lead that. And we do that in homes, do that here at Agora or back at our old site. And saw some of my friends actually come to know Jesus through that, which was really exciting. But I distinctly remember one night, and we shared the story I think last year, but I remember being in the cafe, and we were doing Christian Explored, and I was speaking one night on grace, the grace that Jesus has for us, that love He has that doesn't come with any strings attached. And as I was sharing that, where's Maren? I saw her here before. Yeah, Maren down the back. Maren was there, and Maren had a friend with her. She had her friend Elizabeth with her. And then also, alongside Elizabeth was Darelba. And so Elizabeth and Darelba come from Columbia, and Elizabeth had only recently arrived, had almost no English, and Maren had befriended her and been bringing her along, which was really cool. And Darelba was there translating beside her. So we had quite a multicultural group that night, but as I spoke, Darelba was translating for Elizabeth, and Maren was there in support. And partway through, I noticed that a little bit of a commotion was going on over there, but I sort of tried to carry on. And then at the end, they were crying, and I thought, what have I done? You know? And they were crying. I thought, oh, no. And so I went over them, what's going on? And they didn't know what had gone on. But as they explained what had gone on, something happened that we don't really understand. That as I was speaking very directly about the grace of Jesus, his great love for us, that comes at no cost to us. Duralba had been translating from English to Spanish to Elizabeth. And then suddenly Elizabeth started to whisper before Duralba said it, the words in Spanish. And so Duralba stopped. And as I spoke in English, Elizabeth was whispering in Spanish. And all we can figure out was that somehow in there, she was hearing and understanding the message of grace in her own language. I can't tell you what happened or why, but I've got this thing. We've talked amongst ourselves since then about it, and this is my best shot at what happened that day. On that day, God wanted Elizabeth to know his love. He wanted her to know his grace in her own language, and he did that. On that day, I believe for me that God confirmed that he was in the work that we were doing as a church amongst our former refugee and migrant community. It was very early days, and it was as if God was saying, see this? I'm in this. And I've got to tell you that more than anything else, that for me was a confirmation that God loves our migrants and former refugees in Hamilton City and wants us as a church to be loving them too. Such a powerful day. The interesting part is that's not my best memory about my involvement with the crazy Colombian community, because they are a little bit loco at times. And I remember the day that the Colombians first invaded my world, and it was a good day. Agora and CBC had decided to actually be compassionate. We'd been talking about compassion for ages. We'd raised as a value, and then an earthquake hit Haiti, and World Vision were responding, and so we decided that as a church and as a cafe, we would give generously to World Vision. And so for the next few weeks, church just gave all of the money that came in, no matter in what way, we just gave it to World Vision to use in Haiti. And Agora decided to give 50 cents a cup, which you're probably familiar with that little phrase now, but that's back 9 years ago, 10, almost 10 years, 9 years ago I think it is. It decided to give 50 cents a cup to World Vision's Lend a Hand campaign for Haiti. So we did that. We got to the end of that month and we went, hey, that was cool, why don't we do that every month? So we have ever since. Just kept on giving 50 cents a cup. But what that did is it introduced us to the needy community of Hamilton. Because we started going, who's in need? Who can we generously give to? And so the first group that we were introduced to was Refugee Services, which now comes under Red Cross. And so we decided that we would sponsor their next youth art program and host one of their events here, which we did. So we got to know the team at Refugee Services, and we sort of dabbled in this little world of former refugees. As we did that, I got an invitation to go to the next porphyry at the migrant centre that was welcoming new refugees to Hamilton. So I rocked along, and I can remember that day very well, because as I walked into the migrant centre on Boundary Road, I prayed this simple prayer. Jesus, I'm open to loving a new friend from another country. Please show me who. It's just a real simple prayer. Just remember it real clearly. Just God, really open. I'm open to a new friend that I can love. Who is it? And I sat down beside this guy. He had short, really straight black hair, and he had a big smile and a strong handshake. And his name was Abelardo. And we became friends that day. And we started to do coffee here that day, and we started to catch up each week, and I helped him with his English, and he didn't help me with my Spanish because I still have none. We had, you know, such a great journey and got to meet his beautiful wife, Duralba, and then their family, and then the widened community, and this thing that we see today, like this growing multicultural community, it started on that day. A day that God loved me and brought a new friend into my life. A day that God loved Abelardo and brought a new friend into his life. A day that God said, this is the beginning. This is like a seed germinating for CBC to love the foreigner in their city. That was pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty crazy. You think about it, that this afternoon we're going to the Waikato River and Gilmar's getting baptized because God loves Gilmar, but because God also loved Abelardo and me on that day. See the link? And you know what's happening tonight? Lorraine and I are going to Spanish Worship upstairs for their little farewell and be real honored by that. That started on that day with just a simple prayer saying, I want to love somebody.
Yeah. On that day, because of God's love for me, Abelardo, and CBC and the migrant community, a seed germinated and began to grow, CBC slowly becoming a multicultural community. So, this is my last one. Last story. Not talking about last message, just last story. So why on earth am I leaving CBC? Because they're a bunch of great memories. I don't feel like I'm leaving. I feel like we're going. That's how it feels. And we will be back. Like, we'll be dropping in. Don't you worry. But we're going to our next. And I want to tell you that Craig, come on up here. Craig, come on up here. I get to boss you around because I'm kind of like your senior pastor right now. When I come back, you'll be my lead pastor, and I don't know what that's going to be like. So I want to talk in a moment about Craig. Okay, it's crazy here today because there's a guy down the back there, Lindsay, and Craig and I. We were flatmates here in Hamilton. It was the first flat that we'd ever been in, and you don't want to know about that flat. It was crazy. And it's hard to believe that here we are in the same building all these years later, a lot of years later. That in itself speaks of God's great love. But Craig, before I tell a story about that it's your fault that I'm leaving, because it kind of is, I thought that we'd have this little transaction go right now, okay? Because I want to tell you that Lorraine and I are really excited that Craig and Jose are coming here. We just are so convinced that they need to be here for themselves, and that you need them to be here for you, and that God's at work. We couldn't be more excited about that. And I'm excited that Craig is my lead pastor. I'm excited about that. To the point that quite often, especially people that were around when the famous stool was first used for the first year, are not sure who's actually allowed to sit on the stool. Okay? Because this is my stool. I bought this stool, and I'm still not sure if any other preacher has actually sat on the stool. I know other people have, like musos have, and I've just let it go, but but I officially today want to say, Craig, I want to give you my stool.
You're so weird. Thank you.
So I offered him the other day to sit on it for when he preached here, you know, back when he had that interview, that weird interview where 200 people interview someone for a job. And he didn't want to. He says, no, I'm right standing. And I'm like, oh, man. But
sorry,
I'm giving you the stool, bro. Now, you can honestly, just like you can do whatever you like. Like, you can do whatever you like with the stool. But I'm just saying, that's yours, bro. Thanks. It's yours, okay?
Okay. Cheers, bro. Thank you.
About four years ago, Craig preached here. And we had no idea this was going to happen then. No idea at all. That's what's so crazy about this stuff. No idea. When he preached here that day, he preached on Ephesians 3, and he preached on love. He preached on knowing and experiencing God's love. And on that day, we all had little pieces of paper, and at the end he said, where do you most often experience and know the love of God? Where is that? Where is that for you? And then he said, write that down on your piece of paper. And so I thought about that, and I wrote down on my piece of paper, I wrote mission.
I know, like, when I'm on the mission, when I'm like in Thailand and amongst people, I'm sharing Jesus or just doing a practical thing to show the love of Jesus, man. When I'm helping with Red Cross or something, it's like, when I'm on mission, it's like, I wrote that down. And then Craig said to us, he says, that place that you wrote down, get there more often. And on that day, I decided to get there more often. I really think that that was a turning point in my life, because this is what it did. Is I was umming and ahhing about the next Thailand trip because of some logistics, and I went, nah, I'm going. And I went on the next Thailand trip a few months later. And as I went on that trip, and I've got it all down in my journal, it's crazy, I was reading it the other day, and I arrived on that trip in Thailand, and I was just like, God, show me your love on this trip in Thailand. And he did. And I've shared some of that here before. This is like 3 years ago. He showed me his love in so many ways on that trip. And that's what began my pursuit of the love of God that I invited you into 2.5 years ago, and we've been on the journey since. And it started when you preached here that day. I think all of this is significant when you tie it all together and you just go, man, you see that? How much God loves us? That he would tie all those pieces together. And then as we've been, Lorraine, on this pursuit of God's love, I think we've come to this realization. And it's this, that when I wrote down the mission piece, I don't think of that now as like be a missionary or the mission is just Thailand. But what it helped me understand is that there's spaces that I find myself in where I most experience the love of God, and I want to be there more often. And this might sound horrible, but I want to tell you this, that it's not here, it's there. For me, that's it. I love it here. I love this church. I've loved being here. And I don't leave here like thinking, oh, I hated that place. It's like, I've loved being part of this church, and I feel like we'll still be part of it. But I most experience the love of God when I'm there, not here. For me, it's at a kickboxing event with my crazy Muay Thai family. For me, it's on a mountain on my own in all my pain with Jesus. For me, it's on another trail with my old Kiwi mates and my young Afghan mates running a long, hard trail. For me, it's helping people who are new to our country just understand their new employment or maybe something's happening at school or work. For me, it's hanging with my family at Raglan or living simply for a week in a village in Thailand. These are the spaces that I find myself in. And I think, Lorraine, I've come to this place where we've gone, the mission for us is to be in the places where we are ourselves. And here's the bit that's kind of dumb about it. We don't know where that's going to be right now or what that's going to look like. But we know we need to go because we want to experience the love of God more and more. Because in those spaces, you know what happens then? We get to then show the love of God more and more. Because that's why you need to know today that God deeply loves you today where you are. Who you are. And he does want through that for you to love others, for sure. And I could go on about that, but today I want to stop with the first part. He needs you to know today, you are greatly loved by him. On this day, we can confidently and thankfully declare that God loves us so much more than we could ever imagine. He'll continue to do so every day in new ways. He loves you. His love is the most excellent way. His love never fails. His love remains after all the cool stuff and the tough stuff has gone. For the greatest of all is love. Just stand and we'll pray. Father God, we just pause and we think of all the days that we've been family here, whether that's been just for the last few weeks, months, or for the whole 23 years. We want to thank you for the days. The days that we've been filled with joy and the days that have been deep sorrow. The days that have just been normal, days of great challenge, days of great celebration. We just thank you for each one. Thank you that in each of these days you have loved us as a church and you've loved each of us. And you'll continue to do so. Thank you that you love us today. We just pause and we rest in that, knowing that, you have accepted us, you value us, you sing over us, you have a million good thoughts about us. We're accepted by you, belong to you, welcomed by you because of your great love. And we just want to end by saying thank you. Thank you. Amen.